The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parashas is Parashas Vayeshev. And Vayeshev is the story of Yosef. Joseph. States where Ela told us, well, Yaakov has returned home after fleeing from Esav and being away for so long. And Ela told us, Yaakov, Yosef, Ben Shva Esrei Shona. These are the generations of Yaakov. Yosef was 17 years old. He was a shepherd. Yisrael Ohav Yosef Mikol Bonav, and Yaakov was also called Yisrael. He loved Yosef from all of his children. Kiven Zekuni Mulai, he was the son of his old age. But also like same as Pasim, and he made him a coat of many colors. Vayirachov ki Esav Ohav Aviyah Mikol Echov, and his brethren saw that his father loved, their father loved Yosef more than anyone else. Vayishnu Esav, and they hated him. And they could not speak peacefully with him. Then the Torah tells us about the dreams of Yosef, where through the interpretation of the dreams, he would be a king and the others would all bow down to him, and even his father and mother. And this made them hate him even more. They said, "Hamaloch tim lecholenu, im moshel tim shel bonu. You will be king over us, you will rule over us." And again, they started to hate him even more. And then, one day, his brothers went to Shechem, and there they were taking care of the sheep. And his father sent Joseph, and he said, "Go there and find out how your brothers are." And they saw him coming from far. And before he could come, they started to plot to kill him. They said, "The dreamer is coming. Let us go and kill him. And we'll throw him in one of the pits. And we'll tell the father, a wild animal ate him, and we'll see what will happen to his dreams." Vayishma Reuven, and Reuven heard what they were doing, Vayatzileu miyodam, and he saved him. And he said, Leinakenunafish, we should not kill him. He says, "Better just throw him into a pit, and we shouldn't harm him." And the Torah testifies that this was just a strategy on Reuven's part in order to come back and save him. So when Yosef came, they took off his colored coat and so forth, and they threw him in the pit. And Reuven had gone away. And then they sat down, and they were eating. And Ochash Yishma'elimbo, a caravan of Arabs came, carrying all types of merchandise. And then Yehuda came and said, "Ma betzeki nareges ochino, what gain will we have from killing our brothers, from our brother? Let us sell him to the Yishma'elim." So they sold him. And then Vayoshev Reuven, when Reuven came back, he looked for him and he found out what happened, and he rent his garments. And then there was nothing else they could do. They took his coat and they put blood on it from the goat, and they brought it to their father. And the father said, "Chayaroa Achlosu, a wild animal has eaten him. Torov Toraf Yosef has torn my Yosef." And the father wept and mourned for him for many, many days, and he could not be comforted. And then the next parsha immediately starts about that at that time Yehuda went down from his brothers And he left and he went to another place, and then it starts to tell us about Yehuda, and then it returns to tell us what happened to Yosef when he was sold in Egypt. Now there's in accordance to the simple sense of the story here, there are a great deal of questions, many questions that one should ask. Firstly, we have to know though that Yaakov, that's Jacob, was the Shlemus HaOvos. He was the perfection of our forefathers. Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And we toss the Shlema, the Chazal tell us. Abraham had a son that had to be rejected, that was Ishmael. Yitzchak had a son that had to be totally rejected, that was Esav. But Yosef had 12 sons, Kulam Shifteko. They all were tzaddikim, giborim benoim. They were all righteous, ultimate of righteousness. They were all very, very strong and very, very handsome and beautiful. And they were all, HaKadosh Baruch Hu placed his name on all of them, and they became the foundation for the Beis Yisrael, the structure of the house of Israel. So he was able to achieve what Abraham and Yitzchak was not able to. And therefore he was called Yaakov Shlemta, Yaakov who was the perfect one, the perfection of Avraham and Yitzchak. So we have a lot of questions we can ask here. Firstly, it states Ela told us Yaakov, these are the generations, these are the children of Yaakov, and then it tells us about Yosef. Yosef was 17 years old, and it goes into the story of Yosef. Why Yosef? He had many sons. Secondly, it states that Yaakov loved Yosef more than any other son, ki ben zikunim ulai, he was the son of his old age. He wasn't really the son of his old age. Binyamin was more of a son of an old age. Binyamin was born later. And even if it is, what does it mean? He loved him more because he was the son of his old age. Thirdly, he made for him a ksenas pasim, a coat of many colors. What significance is this? And if he made him a coat of many colors, so it's a garment. Torah doesn't tell us where they bought their clothes or what kind of clothes they wore. So what significance is this? And then it states that the brothers saw that he loved Yosef more than anyone, and plus they saw this coat of many colors, and they hated him for it. Now this is good by perhaps children in a nursery school or a primary school, showing favoritism towards one. The teacher gives something to one more than the other, so they start to faribul. Here we're talking about the brothers who were 12 giants in the world, the perfection of Klal Yisrael. And then it states, tells us about his dreams. What really did these dreams mean? Then further it says, the brothers hated him more even because of his dreams. Why? I mean, if you one brother has dreams, even if he has dreams that he'll reign over me, therefore what? I should hate him. I should have been big enough to forget about that. But not only that, it says Vaisnak lo isei lamisoi. They plotted to kill him. And they were ready to kill him. Probably the two greatest Averis in the Torah, from the very, very worst Averis in the Torah, is Genif Nefesh Umachore, to steal someone and to sell him. It carries a capital punishment. Or Shvichas Domim, to kill someone, a murderer. See here, they're plotting murder, and they're plotting kidnapping, and to sell someone as a slave, and it's their own brother yet. So what's going on? And we never really find that they were really held guilty for all of this. And all of this carries a death penalty. The Torah should have recognized them as carrying out the lineage of Esav, where they're called blooded murderers, a brother yet. We never really find that they received such a harsh, harsh punishment for their acts. Maybe indirectly, but then it states, "Vayishma Reuben vayatzilehu." Reuben decided to save him. The Medrash says on this, this is a Medrash in Rus. It says certain times we do things and we don't realize, many times we do things and we think they're very great, but they're not. But many times we do things and we don't think too much of them, and really they're very, very great. And it singles out Reuben here, and it singles out also Boaz when he took care of Ruth, and it singles out Aaron when Aaron went to greet Moshe's brother, and he rejoiced over the fact that Moshe, his younger brother, was appointed to even a greater degree of greatness than himself. So the Medrash says, from here we learn that when a person goes to do a mitzvah, he should do it with a full heart, because he never realizes that heichan advarim magim, just how great what he's doing. You can't have anything greater. If, for example, a reporter came to you and he said, you know, we want to write about you in our newspaper. You ask him, what do you want to write about me for? He says, no, you're a very well-known person. We want to write about you. Well, you would be very honored. But what's a newspaper? You read it today and it's in the rubbish tomorrow. Let's say someone came and said, I want to write a book on you. Why? Oh, well, you're a very well-known person. Well, that would be something. But even a book, so it'll gather dust someplace. Let's say an editor from Encyclopedia Britannica came. He said, we want an article about you in our encyclopedia. You ask him, well, why me? He says, because you're famous. So you would be very honored. But even Britannica, the most famous history book in the world, is the Torah. Kodesh Baruch Hu comes and says, I want to write about you in the Torah. So it says, if Reuben would have known what he was doing, Kodesh Baruch Hu himself is going to write about him in the Torah. So then he would have not only just saved Yosef, he would have taken Yosef and put him on his shoulders and carried him back to his father and made a real big deal out of it. And so does it say by Aaron and by Boaz. Now, I'm going to ask, what's the big deal? If someone's not a murderer, he becomes a righteous person. The Gemara always says that just because you're not a Rosha doesn't make you a great person. So he didn't want to murder his brother. So therefore what? He becomes so wonderful and so righteous. So that's another question. Then a further question is that immediately when we finish speaking about Yosef here, there's an abrupt interruption before the Torah tells us what happened to Yosef after he was sold to Egypt in detail. And it starts to tell us about Yehuda. Vayered Yehuda Meisachov. And Yehuda went down from his brothers, and it goes on to Yehuda's life. What does that have to do with it? So we have a great number of questions. We've spoken about this in the past, and in fact, we've even given a series of shiurim on it, because there's a lot of ground to cover. But let's see in the time located if we could cover some of these points. The first point that we have to know is the whole creation and the whole world was reliant on Avraham Avinu. Because 20 generations that existed from the creation of the first man till Avraham, they were kulan b'teilin u'b'tolim. They were all kemisha eino. They were as if they didn't exist. Because each generation went further down and down and down. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu already in the early days brought a great flood before the flood of Noah to wipe out a great dimension of the population. Then he brought the flood to destroy all of the world. And even after Noah, that he saved one family, again they were going down, down. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu had no nachas from his creation. Achibo Avraham Avinu, until Avraham. And there he saw, firstly, some joy, but secondly, he saw a sustaining power. The others didn't have a power to sustain the world. He saw from Avraham would come a power to sustain the world. Otherwise, it would end up like a jungle, like we really see the world today, that it's a total jungle outside of the fact that there's a Yisrael and his Torah. If you would take Yisrael and his Torah out of the world, it would be kula cheshek, it would be total darkness and a wild world. And that's not what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was interested when he created the world. And therefore, in the creation when he said, Vayi or, let there be light, he was not only referring to the physical life of the sun, Ze Avram Avinu, he was referring to a spiritual light that would come 20 generations later that would light up the world. And the Chazal also tells us that it states, Ela told the Shemaim Va'aretz Bihi Barom. These are the generations, the history of the heavens and earth, Bihi Barom. Hi Barom is a strange word, and it's built out of the letters of Abraham. Bishchus Abraham. It was through the merit of Abraham he created the world. Had not been for Abraham, then he would not have created the world, because it was going nowhere fast. And therefore, in Parshas Lech Lecha, in the 20th generation, HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to Abraham and he said, V'eschol agai gadol, I will make you into a great nation. V'avorechecha, I will bless you. V'agad l'shemecha, I will make your name great. V'yehi brocha, and you will be a brocha. What does that mean? So Rashi brings, Abrochas nesun aloch biyodecha. Ad achshav ha'yu biyodi, berachti esodim v'esnoach. He says, the brochas, my brochas, I used to bless Adam HaRishon. I gave him a bracha, powerful brachas, and I used them to bless Noah. I give them to you, and you bless who you want now. And it also states, "V'nivruchu v'chol kol mishpachos Adama." All of the families of the earth will be blessed because of you. Had there been no Abraham, there would be no world to speak of, no world that's worthwhile. Because of Abraham, the world can be sustained. Now, but this was only possible through Abraham and his seed. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, "Lezaarcho etenas oras azos." I'm going to give to your seed this land, Eretz Yisrael. And that's why Abraham cried to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I'm going to give you so much, he said, Matit en li v'anoichi holech arili. What can you give me if I have no child? Abraham said, What good am I? If my power is to bring this light into the world, I can only do it through my children. I'm not going to live forever. I have no children, so what good will I be to the world? Uben Besi Yerishesi. My servant Eliezer, he's my heir. So the HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Lo Yirosh Chozer. Now he will not inherit you. Ki Mashe Yetze Mime Echo, Hu Yiroshcho. The one that will come out from your loins, he will inherit you. So therefore, the whole future of the world depended on the seed of Abraham. The future generations of Abraham, and these brachas would be passed down to them. Now, the question is, if you have more than one child, who should lead the way? Who should carry on this mission? Who should get these brachas, which belong to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to Abraham, and he said, you give them to who you see fit. Now, by rights, it should go to the Bechor, to the leader of the house, the eldest. That was always Shuras Hadin. That was the Mishpat. That was the way it should be done. Assuming, though, that he's Roi Lekach, that he's fit for it. But he should be the head. He should be the king. He would be the Bechor. Also, the Kohuna would go to him. Before the golden calf, the kohuna, the schus, the merit to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and in the Beis HaMikdash went to the firstborn. Now the question came, Abraham had two sons, one was Ishmael and one was Yitzchak. So Avraham had decided that his lineage would go through Yishmael, and he will get his brachas, and he will carry on. He was the firstborn. Until Sarah came and intervened. And Sarah said, Goresh yesa omazes v'sbano, chase out this maidservant and her child and her son. Lo yirash ben omazes im benim Yitzchok. He says, this son, Yishmael, will not inherit together with my son Yitzchok. Avram didn't want to listen to her, because Ishmael was his son and he was his firstborn. He was the eldest, the Bechor. Until HaKadosh Baruch Hu intervened and he said, Kol asher temar eilecho Sora shma bekeilo ki v'yitzchok yikor elcho Zora. Whatever Sora will tell you, you must listen to her. Because v'yitzchok yikor elcho Zora, that your seed will not be through Yishmael. Yishmael is going to be rejected. Your seed will be through Yitzchok. Okay, so that took care of that generation. But then Yitzchok had two sons. He had Esav. Esav was the firstborn, and he had Yaakov. So Esav, Yitzchok also had this dilemma: who's going to carry the flag? Who will be the king? Who will get the brachas? So Yitzchok chose Esav, because Esav was the firstborn. And Esav had deceived Yitzchok. He thought he was righteous. Again, until Rivka intervened. And she said, V'ato b'nish ma b'keili, l'asher ani matzav Esav. She called Yaakov and she said, your father wants to give Esav the brachas and Esav the leadership, the Bechora. Listen to me. You must go and take them. He didn't want to, but she said, no, you must listen to me. And this is why, at the end of Pashas told us, after Yitzchok, by mistake, by error, gave the brachas to Yaakov, and then Esav came, and he said, who are you? And he said, Ani Bechor Echa, I'm your firstborn. So he says, who was the other? He says, that was Yaakov. So it states, Vayecharad Yitzchok harodo gedola ad miod. Yitzchok was gripped by a great terror, and he saw Gehenna in front of him. He says, Ovarti al shuras hadin, I did what I was not allowed to do. I gave this gedula, this greatness, these brachas, to one that's not the firstborn. But then, when Esav started to cry, and he said, "Pamayim, Yakveni ze pamayim," that my brother Yaakov, now I know why he was called Yaakov by the heel, because he tripped me twice. So Yitzchok asked, what do you mean twice? She said, "Es bechirasi lokach, lokach, ba'at vihine ato es bechosi lokach, lokach es bechosi." He says, first he stole my birthright. So he was referring to the time when Esav sold over his firstborn birthright to Yaakov. And he said, and now he stole my brachas. So when Yaakov said, what do you mean he stole your birthright? When Yitzchok said, what do you mean he stole your birthright? So he told him the story with the porridge and everything. So Yitzchok said, Gam Boruch Yia, let him be blessed. He deserves the brachas, he's the firstborn. And this is all in the Medrash Tanhuma. So that's how it went from Abraham to choose between Yishmael and Yitzchok. And that's how it went by Yitzchok to choose between Yaakov and Esav. Now Yaakov had the same dilemma. Now it is true that none of his sons were going to be rejected at all. Not like Esav and not like Yishmael. Because like we mentioned, Kulam Shiftei Kor, they all belong to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They all belong to Yisrael. But the question was now, who should he choose to carry this flag? The brochas of Abraham Avinu, and this greatness, and this mission. And it wasn't an easy choice, because each brother, like we mentioned, kulam tzaddikim, kulam giborim, kulam naim, each one was greater than the next one. To give you an example, first of all, Reuven was Reshis Ono, he was the firstborn. And he had all of the attributes of a firstborn. Levi, from him was to come out the kohuna in the end, the priesthood. And from Levi would come out such people as Amram and Yocheved and Moshe and Aaron and Miriam. That would be the goalim, they would be the redeemers of Israel. And Moshe would bring down the Torah. There was Yehuda. Yehuda was destined to be a king. And from he was the Arya, he was the lion. Just like the lion is the king. And from him would come out, called Beis David, the whole house of David. And even the Melech HaMashiach, La'osilove. Yisachar and Zvulun, they were the force of Torah. From Yisachar it states 200 Rashi Sanhedrins, Sanhedrios. There were 200 heads of courts. By Yisachar they binon. They could understand parts of Torah that no one else could. And his brother Zvulun was the great partner, the great supporter of his Torah. There was Don. From Don was to come Shimshon, who would be the great Shafet, the great judge of Israel, Samson. There was Binyamin. Binyamin was the only one that was born in Eretz Israel. And in his portion would be the Beis HaMikdosh. And from him would come out such great people as Esther and Mordechai and Shaul HaMelech, King Saul. So he didn't have an easy choice as to who to choose. So he started that it must go to the Bechor. Must go to the firstborn. And that was Reuben. And that's why it states that ultimately, when he, before his death, when Yaakov blessed everyone, in Parshas Vayechi it states, right at the beginning of the brochas, Reuven Becheiri, Reuven, you're my firstborn. Atokeichi Bereishis Oni. You have all of the attributes of my Reishis, my beginning. Yeser Se'es V'Yeser Oz. You should get the Se'es and you should get the Oz over your brethren. What does that mean? So Rashi brings from the Chazal that Yeser Se'es V'Yeser Oz, you should get the Kuhuna, the priesthood, because you're the Bechor, and you should get the Malchus, the kingship. However, Pachas Kamayim Al Tosar Ki Oliso Mishkevei Abicho Os Chilalto Yitzui Olo. But Reuven did something which was to Yaakov a very great Aveiro. He interfered in his private affairs. When Rachel died, so Reuven was Yaakov's firstborn and from Leah. So he held that now Leah should become the favorite wife because she suffered all of the time when Rachel was living. But meanwhile, Yaakov chose the maidservant, Rachel's maidservant over Leah. And Reuven became very, very angry with this. And he started to revolt. And Yaakov held that that was out of bounds. That was not for Reuven. And he severely chastised him for that. And he said, because of that, I cannot give you all of these great honors and these great powers and these great authorities. All right? So he went to Shimon and then to Levi. He said, no, Shimon v'Levi achin klei chomos mecheliseihem. I cannot give it to Shimon and Levi either, even though you're next in line. Because you were brothers in murder. You went and you murdered off a whole city. When Dina was abducted, you went and you killed the whole city. Now it's true, they were taking revenge for their sister. But he said, your anger was too much. Would have been enough if you would have gone and killed those who were directly responsible and take Dina away and we would have left. He says, you went and you took the weapons of Esau. So therefore he says, I cannot give them to you either. Although ultimately Levi did get the kuhna. So he came to the fourth son. The fourth son was Yehuda. Yehuda, he said, you will be very, very great. And Gurai Yehuda, you will be a lion. And he gave Yehuda the Malchus, the royalty. Lo Yosef Shevet Yehuda, Umechekek Mi Ben Raglov, Ad Ki Yove Shila Velayikas Amim. The staff of kingship will not be lost to you, Midovid Ve'elech, after King David. Ad Ki Yove Shila, all the way till the end of days, the Melech HaMashiach. So he gave the royalty to Yehuda. Now, since Reuven was actually, though, the real firstborn, he gave him the firstborn birthright. Not the kohuna, not the malchus. But not totally. He had another calculation also. And he said as follows. He says, it's true that Reuven was my firstborn. But that was through deceit. I didn't come to the house of Reuven for Reuven, for Leah. I came to the house of Reuven for Rachel. And the fact is, I didn't even want to marry Leah. I was deceived into marrying Leah. And had I not been deceived, then my firstborn would have been who? It would have been Yosef. Not Reuven. And Rachel was always considered Eishes Yaakov, the primary wife of Yaakov. And even the sons of Leah would admit to this. Whenever they would speak about the wives of Yaakov, they would place Rachel first. And she was known as the Akeres Abayis, the mainstay of the house, because the whole purpose why Yaakov went to the house of Laban was for Rachel. He wasn't interested in marrying Leah at all. So therefore he said, I must consider Yosef also my firstborn, the firstborn of Rachel. And then there were other calculations also. Yosef was the wisest of all of the sons. And that there it states that Yaakov loved Yosef, ki ben zukunim hulo, he was the son of his old age. We asked him that, he wasn't the son of his old age, Binyamin was. And secondly, that seems to be somewhat superficial. The Targum says, Bar Hakima Hoyo. Zokin means wise. He was the wisest of all of the sons. And because of that, Kol Ma Shalamad Eitzel Shem Be'Ever Masa Lel Yosef. All of the Torah that Yaakov spent 14 years in the house, Beis HaMidrash of Shem Be'Ever, he gave over to Yosef. It comes out, not only was he giving him Torah, he was giving him the most important element of Torah, the Masoris, the link of the tradition of the Torah and how to understand it, that goes all the way back. And this Yosef had, and the other brothers didn't. Then it states further, Daimalai, Yosef resembled Yaakov in almost every way. It says he looked like him. Zivu kainim demalo. He looked like him. Now, we might think this is just a physical attribute. First of all, beauty is not just a physical attribute. But secondly, this is very important, because the Gemara brings in Bamatzia Perakaseches Apayalim Shufra de Yaakov ke Shufra de Adam Arishon. The beauty of Yaakov resembled the beauty of Adam Arishon, of the first man, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself created. And the looks of Yaakov was Chokuk b'kisei HaKovod, was on the throne of the Almighty. So if we say Yosef looked like him, this is very, very significant. He was of outstanding beauty. And later on it's brought in his bracha, Bein Poresh Yosef. Yosef, a son of the ultimate beauty. And then the Midrash says further, he was Deimalei, he was like Yaakov in everything that would happen to him. The Midrash lists off 12, 13, 14 different things. We'll just mention a few. It states Yaakov, his brother hated him, Esav. Yosef, the brothers hated him. Yaakov, Esav wanted to kill him, plotted to kill him. By Yosef, the brothers plotted to kill him. Yaakov was detached from his home for many, many years. Yosef was detached from his home for many, many years. And so on and so on. Now, from all of this, Yaakov saw something else in Yosef, that he was his primary son. And that's what it's meant. Elu toldos Yaakov, Yosef poyo. That the primary son of Yaakov was Yosef. What does that mean? The Maral and the Goraya explains as follows. When you have a tree, you have the trunk of the tree, and then you will have branches. But before you have branches, you have one branch coming out of the tree that goes straight, and then the other branches start to come out. This is the case in many times. Yosef was that one branch. So all of the other sons would draw their power first from Yosef and then from the trunk of the tree. Now this is what is meant, that it states in Parshas Vayetze, when Yosef was in the house of Lavan, when Yaakov was in the house of Lavan, and he had his children. So writes as follows the Torah. Vatar v'teilet bein, this is in Bereishis Lamed Posukhov Gimel. Vatar v'teilet bein, v'tomer osa v'lekim eskar posi, v'tikra shmo Yosef, lemor Yosef Hashem li bein acher. Rachel conceived, she gave birth to her first son, she called him Yosef. Vahika she yoldo Rachel es Yosef. Once Rachel gave birth to Yosef. Vayomi Yaakov el Lavan. Yaakov said to Lavan, Shalcheni ve'elcho el mekem yilatzi. Send me back home now, I want to return. The sages ask, why all of a sudden now? He was there many, many years. He was there 7 years that he worked for Rachel, and then he was given Leah. Then he worked another 7 years for Rachel. That's 14 years. Then he worked another 6 years. All of a sudden he says he wants to go back home now. Why? He says, once Yosef was born. So the sages say as follows. Until now he was afraid to go back home. He was afraid of the confrontation with Esav. But once Yosef was born, he was no longer afraid. Because Yosef will be the force that will destroy Esav. Yaakov was like a fire, but without flames. Yosef was the flame. And Esav will be like straw. In other words, Yaakov was the potential force, like the trunk of the tree. But the force that came out of there was first Joseph. And then it went on to the other brothers. And that's what's meant that when he, in Vayishlach, when he confronted Esav, he told Esav, Vayi li shor b'chamor. I have shor. I have cattle. Because I'll say, what is it, mina cattle? He says, no, I have the bull. Yosef, the sign of Yosef, was b'chor shor hodoloi, was the sign of the bull. He says, I'm not afraid of you, because I have Yosef. So this is what is meant. Ben Zikunim Hulai, he was the son of his old age, not his old age, he was the son of his wisdom. He was Elu Toldos, he was his main primary son. And that is why it's said, we see by Yosef something that we do not see by any other of the sons. All of the other Shvatim, all of the other tribes were Bonim, they were children to Yaakov. Yosef himself was capable of also producing the children, because he produced two children in Egypt, Ephraim and Manasseh. And when Yaakov came down to Egypt and he saw Ephraim and Manasseh and he saw their greatness, he said, Kerubin b'Shimon Yuli, they will be like Reuben and Shimon to me, equal with Reuben and Shimon. And they became equal. They had, just like every son had a campsite with a flag, Ephraim had one and Manasseh had one. And just like every son took a territory in Eretz Yisrael, Ephraim and Manasseh. And the Gemara says further in Saita. The Gemara says in Masechta Saita that really Yosef had the potential. He was so great. I mean, birthed all 12 tribes. But something happened where he lost it. In addition to this, now all of this is why Yaakov said, he's my firstborn, I cannot neglect him. And not only is my firstborn, the firstborn always takes the most from the father. He's taken everything from me, so I cannot neglect him. But he also had Keach HaMalucha, he also had the power of royalty, of kingship. In the Brocha, his father said, Nazir Echov. Nazir is a word of crown. You will be a crown over your brothers. And we see he was. He became a king in Egypt, viceroy. From there he became even more powerful than Parai. From there not only did he reign over all of Egypt, but he reigned over the whole world. Because the whole world had to come to beg for money from Egypt. They were the only ones that had food. And not only did he reign over the world, he even reigned over his own family, even Yaakov and his wives, because he sustained them. Phanes or some. We see further also, his father saw. He had the power of Brocha. He was very blessed. Whatever he did was successful. He went down to Egypt. He was sold as a slave. He became the governor of the house of Potiphar. Whatever he did was matzliach. He was thrown into the dungeon. He became the second in command to the warden. He was taken to the court of Parai. Parai makes him a viceroy. He says whatever he did, he was successful. People saw goodness in him, and he had the power of Brocha, to the point where the Gemara brings, he became the wealthiest man in the world. It says he was Malakit Kol Kesef Sheba Olam, gathered in all of the wealth of the world, because the whole world had to come to buy from Egypt. And Yosef was the one who was on top. Even Parai was afraid of him. So Yaakov saw all of these things. He decided as follows. Reuben is my firstborn, Reish is only. I cannot neglect him. So he'll get a lot of rights in the firstborn. The kingship will go to Yehuda. But Yosef also was my firstborn. And therefore he also will get the rights of the firstborn. And we see, where do we see that? The firstborn is supposed to get a double portion. He got a double portion. Because every son had one campsite. Every son had one territory in Israel. Yosef had two. Ephraim and Manasseh. And this was the Shechem Achad. I'm giving you an extra portion. And in order that the brothers should recognize this, he didn't have to tell them, recognize Reuben. Reuben was the firstborn. And Yehuda was the king. That was accepted. He was the Aryeh. But in order for the brothers to recognize that he has identified and chosen Yosef also to be the firstborn, the Bechor, he gave him the Ksenas Pasi. He made for him a royal garment. So this, that it states that he loved him more than all of the other sons, and therefore he gave them the Ksenas Pasi. This was not just a matter of a gift. This was the Bechira. This was the choosing of the lineage of who should follow. And he decided to give him also the main portion of the brochas from Avraham Avinu. Everyone got all of the brochas, but he got the main portion. If you look into the brochas in Parshas Vayechi that were given to all of the sons, the word brocha is not mentioned by any of them, which is very strange, except by Yosef. And by Yosef it's mentioned six times the word brocha. This is brought out by the Maral, by the Vilna Gaon. It states Bein Poris Yosef, Bein Poris Ale Oin Ve'eis Me'el Avicha Ve'azreka Ve'ishadai Viborcheko Birchei Shemai Me'ol Birchei Stoimer Vetzes Tochas Birchei Shadai Merocha. That's four times. Birchos Avicha, five times. Birchos Horai, six times. And not only is it mentioned six times, but Yaakov said to him explicitly, he said, the brochas of your father have become greater than the brochas of my father. This is what Yaakov said to Yosef. To the end of the race, Yosef, they should all fall on the head of Yosef. So he gave them all to Yosef. Now this is explicit in the Divrei Hayomim. Divrei Hayomim, Aleph, Perek Dalet, excuse me, it's Perek Hei, Pasuk Aleph. It states, Ubnei Ruvein Bechor Yisrael, Bechor. The children of Reuven, who was the firstborn, because he was the firstborn. Ubechalala Yitzui Oviv, but because he interfered in the private matters of his father, Nitno Becheirose Livnei Yosef Ben Yisrael. So the firstborn birthright was given to Yosef. He is to be linked to the firstborn. Now, the brothers were not happy with this, not at all. this was Yaakov's calculations, but the brothers were not happy. They knew that Reuben is the firstborn and he must have all of the firstborn rights. And they also knew that Yehuda was destined to be the king. And meanwhile, Yosef, although he was not chosen formally to be the king, but he was chosen to be from the leaders of the brothers, and he was a king, a natural king himself, they saw in this a great danger. And therefore, there was great friction between the brothers and between Yosef. And especially the brothers who were the sons of Leah and Yosef and Binyamin, who were the sons of Rachel. And especially between Reuben and Yosef, and between Yehuda and Yosef, because they were the two prime players. The firstborn powers were being taken from Reuben and given to Yosef, and Yosef was usurping the kingship from Yehuda. There can't be two firstborns. And ancient Malachim Mishtamshim Bekeserecho, there can never be two kings with one crown. There can only be one king. So this was the background to all of this. And they decided to revolt. Now maybe you'll say, but what do you mean, how could they? It was Yaakov's decision, and this is how he decided. What are they going to start up with Yaakov Avinu? Are they going to try to second guess Yaakov? Absolutely. Because they said Avraham made the same mistake. And Yitzchok made the same mistake. Wasn't Avraham prepared to give everything to Ishmael, the great Avraham, until Sarah intervened and HaKadosh Baruch Hu intervened? And wasn't great Yitzchok prepared to give everything away to Esav, the Rosha, until Rivka intervened and HaKadosh Baruch Hu intervened? They saw the history repeating itself. It says Reuven was a tzaddik gomer, and he was the firstborn. You can't change that. And Yehuda was the melech, and they could foresee from him that would come from David HaMelech. And meanwhile, look what Yaakov's doing because of his love for Yosef. And Yosef is taking it. And now he's telling us dreams, how he will rule yet. And he'll rule over us, and he'll rule over even Yaakov. And they tried their best to stop it, and to stop it they couldn't. And meanwhile also there's another, we don't have time to go into it, but it states that Yosef was bringing Lashon Hara to Yaakov against the other brothers yet. So this was the background. And this went on for a long time. And they couldn't stop the process. Until finally, they came to the conclusion that we have no other alternative. We're dealing here with the creation of the world. We're dealing here with the Netzach, the everlasting sustenance of the world, like we mentioned. If not for Abraham, there'll be no world. And this was Abraham, Zara, and his seed. And what seed? Ishmael, Esav. The same thing, Yosef. They're interfering with the process of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's chain of events, of the history. So they came to the conclusion, we have to take action. And finally they had no other alternative than to decide to kill him. Now, Reuben stepped in. And he says, don't kill him. He says, just throw him in a pit. And then the Torah testified, he did this Leman Hatzil, he did this as a strategy in order to come back and save him. Now we asked, the Medrash writes what an enormous act this was for Reuben. But we asked, look, if someone doesn't kill, therefore he becomes a great tzaddik. So he's not a killer, but who says he's a tzaddik? This was no. Because Reuben was the prime loser here. Reuben should have been the first one to want to kill Yosef. Because if not for Yosef, then he would have had all of the honors and all of the authorities and all of the powers. So he should have been first when it came to kill Yosef. Yet he said, I will save him. Oh, now the sages say. Had Reuben known what his greatness and that the Torah would write about him, he would have taken Yosef immediately and put him on his shoulders and taken him back to his father. Now Leah foresaw this when Reuben was born. When Reuben was born, her firstborn, she called him Reuben. Why did she call him Reuben? So the Gemara brings in Brachos and of Zayin Amid Beis Omer Lezer, Omer Leah, when she had this first son, and she saw through a prophecy what was going to happen, she called him Reuven because it comes from the words Reuven, look at my son. Ma bein b'nei b'ni leben chomi. Look at the difference between my firstborn and my father-in-law's firstborn. That was Esav. The Ilu ben Chomi, my father-in-law's firstborn, which was Esav, Afal Gavdimi Daita Zavni Lebechiroseho, even though he willingly sold his firstborn birthright to Yaakov. Nevertheless, look what he did. Vayistam Esav is Yaakov. Still he hated him for it and he wanted to kill him for it. So he sold it willingly and then he wanted to kill Yaakov for it. Ilu bon b'ni, my son, who's a firstborn. Aval gab dal koch shakli Yosef lebechiroseho. Even though by force Yosef took the firstborn birthright away from my son. As it states, and they quote the pasuk that we said from Divrei Hayomim, that it was taken away from Reuben and given to Yosef, still, and he should have hated him for it, here he's the one who wants to save him. Vayishma Reuven vayatzilehu miyodom. Reuven was the one that stepped forward and didn't allow the other brothers to kill him. So she said, look at the difference between my firstborn and my father-in-law's firstborn. My father-in-law's firstborn willingly gave away the firstborn birthright to Yaakov and then he went and wanted to kill him for it. While my firstborn, it was taken away from him. So he should have really hated Yosef. And yet when the other brothers wanted to kill him, he was the one who stepped in to intervene. And this is what the Gemara says. The Gemara explains this in Perek Yesh Nochlin. In Perek Yesh Nochlin and Baba Basra, Daf Kuf Chof Gimel. Gemara brings Ruya Haiso Bechora Loseis Mi Rochel. Really, the firstborn should have come from Rochel. As it states, Elu told us Yaakov Yosef. Because Yosef was the main son of Yaakov and he was destined to be the firstborn. So why wasn't he? Shekodmos al Leah barachamim. Because Leah kept weeping to HaKadosh Baruch Hu all of the time and saying that she was the oldest daughter of Lavan, and everyone would say the oldest daughter of Lavan is destined for the oldest son of Yaakov. So she was going to fall to Yitzchok. So she was going to fall to Esav. Rachel was destined for the youngest son, Yaakov. but she was weeping all of the time. And finally, she penetrated. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu had Rachmonos, and he gave Leah to Yaakov first. Umitoch, Tznius Shoyso Bo Berochel. But because of the Tznius, the greatness of the modesty of Rochel, what was the greatness of the modesty of Rochel? Because she covered the shame of her sister Leah. When she saw that Laban, her father, was sending Leah to the chuppah instead of herself, she should have gone and told Yaakov immediately. But then she said, what will she do? Yaakov will drive Leah out. Could there be a greater shame for my sister? So she covered up the shame of Leah, and she didn't tell Yaakov. And that was a great snooze. So because of that, Hechsira HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought back the firstborn to her, and that was Yosef. So the Gemara tells us that really the firstborn was destined to be, well, really Rachel was destined to be the wife of Yaakov. And therefore the firstborn would have been her firstborn, Yosef. But because Leah was crying all of the time, it says, Eine Leah Rakes, her eyes were all swollen. She was crying and pleading by HaKadosh Baruch Hu she shouldn't fall to Esav. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed Leah to become married to Yaakov. And therefore Reuven became the firstborn. But because of the great act of Tznius that Rachel covered up for her, Hakzira LaRachel, she brought it back, it was brought back to Rachel, and that was Yosef, and that's why it states, Ela told us Yaakov, these are the generations of Yaakov, Yosef. So therefore, he had two firstborns. But this was the main conflict that was going on between Yosef and his father and the other sons of Leah, and in particular Reuven and Yehuda. Now, when they came and told Yaakov, the father, that Yosef, they said, do you recognize this coat? And it was full of blood from a goat. And Yaakov looked at it. And what did he say? He said, Vayakiro Vayomer Ksenis Bini. He recognized it and he said, it's the coat of my son Chayaroa Achlasu. Torov Toraf Yosef. A wild animal has torn my son Yosef. What did he mean, a wild animal? The Chazal tell us he meant Yehuda. He had suspected Yehuda. He knew of what was going on. And Yehuda is the Aryeh. And that's what he had in his mind. He said a wild animal, but in his mind he said it was Yehuda. Later on, Yehuda comes and he says, why should we leave him in the pit where he'll die? Mabetze bedomi. What will we gain from it? Let him live. Let's sell him. So Yehuda also turned around, but not totally. He didn't say we should save him and bring him back to his father. He said we must get rid of him. But why do we have to kill him? Let's just get him out of the picture. So we'll sell him to the merchants. But he did stop himself from tearing him, from killing him. So that's why in the brachas in Parshas Vayechi, when Yaakov benched Yehuda, he said as follows, Gur Aryeh Yehuda, Miterev b'ni Oliso. You are like a young lion, Yehuda. You removed yourself from tearing my son. See? And the Rashi brings, Mimasha Khosharaticha, from that I was suspecting you, betrayed Torah Yosef Chayroach Luso, Losu, that you were the one that killed my son Yosef. Salaktas Atzmacha, you distance yourself. And Vamartan, you said, Ma Betza, what will we gain by killing him? Let us let him live. Now, one final point. This answers all of my questions, I believe. One final point. And that is, we said that the story is interrupted by saying that that at this time Yehuda went down from his brothers. What does that have to do with it? So Rashi brings, the brothers turned against Yehuda when they saw the great sorrow, the great suffering that Yaakov was having, that he couldn't comfort himself from the loss of Yosef. They decided what they did was wrong. Who did they blame? They blamed Yehuda. Why did they blame Yehuda? They said, Ato amarte lemaichre, you're the ones who said to sell them. Ilo amarte lehoshiv, if you would have said to return them to his father, hayinu shemim lach, we would have listened to you. Therefore, vayered Yehuda. Yehuda became a downcast, and he had to leave the brothers. But there's a question here. Firstly, why did they blame Yehuda? Blame themselves? Secondly, when Yehuda said to sell him, actually he was coming to say, don't kill him, sell him. And what did it mean that we would have listened to you? So lefi the pshuta, according to the simple sense, this is what my Rebbe Rav Gifter says. No, Yehuda was the king. Whatever you would have said, we would have listened to. Because you were the king, they recognized him as the Melech. So therefore, had you told us to return him, you could. You told us not to kill him. But meanwhile, you said sell him, and you told us to return him, we would have listened to you. Because you're the Melech. But now there's actually a deeper meaning also. Because the main conflict was between Yehuda and Yosef. Yosef was usurping the kingship. Had Yehuda said, it's true, I'm the king and there cannot be two kings, but leave him go, let him go back to his father, then they surely would have listened. If the king himself is going to waive that honor, they would have listened then. So this is why they blamed it on Yehuda. And Vayered, he had to go down. Horiduhu, he became an outcast from the brothers and he had to go away. This gives us an insight into what was going on here in Yosef, between Yosef and his brothers, and the choice of Yaakov Avinu in the particular honors and brochas.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at PO Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.